Hello and welcome to another episode of the Two Bros Podcast. We are Two Bros. This is Two Bros Podcast. Welcome. As you probably can tell, I've just woken up and I had a bit of a bender last night. I got home at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's past noon now. But I've woken up to a sunny day in Ann Arbor. There's like little snippets of snow still on the green grass in front of me. It did snow a lot yesterday. It was really windy. It was really cold. But the sun's out, the fun's out, everything is perfect though today. Can't complain. In this episode, we're going to continue with our theme from yesterday. I did get a lot of response from you guys, so thank you so much for reaching out and asking your questions. I will try to address them. Again, like I said, I'm no expert in this. I'm just somebody who has figured things out or stumbled upon these truths which have sort of worked for me. May or may not work for you. This disclaimer is always there in whatever advice I give you. What I can say is that it has worked for me, and I think it's worked pretty well to a point where I'm genuinely at peace. Like, even if something does happen, it disturbs me just a little bit, but I always center back. Like, it's like a pendulum. You just swing right back to your center of basically no motion. You're at rest again. Yeah, that's that. I came across this quote yesterday, and I was listening to the Daily Stoic podcast. In fact, I recommend this book, Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday. I think I've gifted it to so many of my friends who have said that it has sort of made, at least made them think about what, how they've been programmed and how they've been dealing with life. And that's just it, this, you think about what influences us. What do we see? Like, these days, it's all stuff we see on Instagram. It's the glitz and glamour of life. It's like, you need to hustle. If you're not doing that, you're not doing well in life. You need this, you need that. You need to act a certain way. You need to dress a certain way. Only then are you successful. And that translates into culture. And people, if you don't fit the norm, you're an outcast. And that's just it. So this need for conformity is just like there with every one of us. And that... Again, I also had that, obviously, but again, time spent at sea for so long, I just stopped caring at all. It didn't matter to me. These things didn't matter to me because some other very important things mattered to me. It mattered who you are as a person. It mattered how you were as a boss, how you were as an employee, how you did your work, how you managed your team, how you ran the engine room with a sense of pride in work. That mattered more to me than what you appear to be, how you present yourself. It's not like I was dressing up in rags or something, but yeah, I stopped caring about what people thought about or any of this. To a point where I also superfluous talk stopped interesting me. It wasn't interesting. I didn't want to be in company or be in rooms where people were just talking about stuff which they, let's say, didn't entirely know about, or let's say they were misguided because they have not been in that environment. And I can't stress this enough, this environment that I found myself in, totally isolated from the world, it was accidental, and it the way it changed my mindset is just staggering. I don't think any other scenario would have done that. So I have zero regrets of spending so much time at sea. I loved the job. Towards the end, the people kind of became a bit annoying. I started having conflict with different reasons. But the job was amazing. The location was amazing. I mean, being at sea, you open up your blinds every morning. It was beautiful. Just the isolation, the time spent with your thoughts. It's just, if you're compelled to do it and you are in a corner and you don't have a choice, but you have to do it, you have to go through it, whatever you're thinking about, that's just it. That's it. That's just worked for me. Time and time with my thoughts, time with myself, just to be united. So I came across this quote on the Daily Stoic. That's a long digress. It said something like, the biggest battle a man is going to face is with man being like human. The biggest battle a human's going to face in his, her life is going to be with themselves. So the mastery of yourself is the biggest battle you're going to find. Because that's just it. There's another quote which just came to me. It said, owning everything doesn't make a man a person rich. That person, I mean, again, I'm not like, this is not an exact quote, but you get the idea. Like, the person who's removed the need for everything is the one who's rich. So think about it. Like even in life, you have so many billionaires we see in the news, footballers, tech CEOs, whatever. So much money. There's this unsurmountable amount of money. You can't fathom it. It's unfathomable. And then you're like, what is this kind of money? It's insane, man. And even then, like, think about movie stars, pop stars, whatever. They have all the money. They have all the fame. People literally, like, worship them. Some of their concerts cause, like, earthquakes and stuff. Yeah, it's that big. But it's not like they're entirely happy either. They're also in bad relationships, substance abuse problems, mental health issues, identity crisis. So it's not like fame, money, and fortune are going to, like, help them figure it out. So chasing that in itself is not the answer towards happiness. Because yes, it will make you momentarily happy if you have a McLaren P1 or a whatever latest Ferrari is called in your driveway. But even that gets stale after a point, because it does. And that's just the nature of, that's just how we are. We just don't, not one thing makes us happy till the end of time. It just, that's not just how it works. So learning to master your needs and your desires and your wants is where you should begin. Like, and again, ask yourself, why do I need this? I remember when I was, before I came here, I was living alone. I had a 3-bedroom apartment to myself, and I had bought so many things because I didn't know I was going to come here. I had no plans to come here. And when it was time to leave everything and come here, I had to sell everything. Like, I had to sell my coffee tables, my TV cabinets, a kitchen. I sold my coffee mugs, I think. Even my whiskey glasses, appliances, kitchen appliances, my shelves, my everything. Whatever I didn't sell, I donated. I gave something to my brother, my music system, which I spent so much money on. I gave my TV to my parents. My stuff just went everywhere. And I remember thinking, why did I buy all of this? It's just like it's weighing me down. I didn't need any of this, but I just had it because norms tell you that if your house is empty and you have people over, you need to have it a certain way. I had rugs. Why did I have rugs? So many rugs. What is the point of that? So again, it was like, and then you got to ask yourself, why did I do this? Why did I buy all of this? And again, it feels good. Shopping feels good. Buying things feels good. That's just why it's called shopping. Retail therapy, they call it. And again, these are our momentary doses of happiness. Like, oh, if you buy something, something's delivered to you. You open up the Amazon package. We've all been there. Feels good. And that's, they've built entire holidays around this. Black Fridays, around Valentine's Day, things like that. Like, oh, buy something for your significant other, or buy something for yourself. It's your birthday. You deserve it. What do you want for your birthday? What is this? What is that? They've built the culture around this. Like, let's just give each other things we don't need. And this is a much longer talk. I mean, if you really get into minimalism, and again, that was very, very accidental. And something, again, this is a total accident. A friend of mine introduced me to podcasts, and there was a different podcast called 99% Invisible, which is amazing. But eventually I started getting addicted to podcasts. And then I looked for this podcast, and I was browsing through like the top charts and whatever. And I found The Minimalists, and then I've been listening to them for so many years. And then they've made me really question, like, do you really need things like these? And yeah, is it just a need or a want? And think about it. You've been living with it without it for so long. Do you really need it? Again, I digress, but the point I'm trying to make is chasing happiness, and even chasing happiness out of having companions or the company of others, is a problem. Human beings are designed that way, and that's just how our genetics are. That's just how we are designed. We are, they call us social animals, and being around other people makes us feel good. Of course it does. That's just how it is. It's hardwired. It's the gospel truth. It cannot be refuted. That's just how it is. But chasing people, and the fact that if you don't have meaningful company, and then you just like, I just need to be around people. And that's just how you get into bad friendships, bad relationships, whatever. But that's the thing. Happiness is, if you really think about what is happiness and how do you feel that feeling? It's essentially a cocktail of a couple of hormones in your body. Right, it's dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and one more which I forget. There's a fourth one. It'll come to me. So everything you do outside, you know, it's everything is an external stimulus which releases these hormones. And again, like, let's say holding hands or giving somebody a hug or whatever, being around people, it releases your happy hormones. And that's how you feel good. And that's why you want to do it again. You want to do it all over again. That's why certain things feel good. Certain things feel way better again than other things. It's the whole carrot versus chocolate debate. Like if you put a carrot or a chocolate in front of a person, 9 times out of 10, they're going to take the chocolate, even though the carrot is better for you, but the chocolate feels better. So that's that. So happiness essentially boils down to this chemical of cocktails and external stimuli, which sort of release these things into our bloodstream, and that's how you feel good. That's just it. It's a chemical reaction, essentially. And something which would make you happy today, if you repeat it over time, it'll make you less happy. You would need more of it. That's why, think about runners. I really got into running in 2017. I was doing, started out small. I was doing 2Ks, 3Ks, 4Ks, and I got into 5Ks. And then you develop something called a runner's high. And it's been compared to a cocaine addiction, basically. It's been documented. There have been studies about it. And so initially when you would run, I would remember when I would run for like 12-ish minutes, I would just get this wave of dopamine all around. Like I would feel it. I would physically feel it. Like even if I was in pain, I was out of breath, it felt so good. But then that's the thing. It stopped happening at 2 kilometers. So I needed to run longer to get that hit. Then threes became fours and fours became fives. Eventually I was doing tens. I wasn't entirely in the best condition to do 10Ks on a regular basis. And then I threw my knee out and then I couldn't run for a while. It was really, and again, I was at sea. So I wasn't like entirely at rest. So I had to work. I had to climb stairs and I was in like a crazy amount of pain at that time, I remember. So I couldn't run. And then all that addiction came crashing down. And I remember becoming so cranky in life. I was so irritated. I was fighting with people. I was yelling at people. And I stopped and I thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And this is the point. Having so much time in life, these are the questions you need to ask. Why am I doing this? And the fact that I had the time to sit and analyze what's going on is what gave me this clarity. And that completely changed my understanding of happiness. So I Googled, what is this? And somebody had mentioned runner's high. So I Googled it. And they're like, when I read it, like it's been compared to a cocaine addiction. And then it's really serious. Again, in a good way, it's not like it's harming you, but your body craves it now. And that's just it. Your body craves being with people. That's just it. It's only because it feels good. There's no, you don't need it for survival, at least not anymore. You know, we don't live in villages and like tight-knit communities anymore. People barely know their neighbors again. Like I lived by myself for so long, I didn't even know who my neighbors were. I didn't have to. We're not a village or a community anymore. That term, it takes a village to raise a family or whatever, it's gone. We don't have that. But that need to be around people has still remained. So even in the age of hyper-independence, that need to be around people has still remained. Because that's just it. It's in our DNA. It's what triggers our happy hormones. But that got me thinking, if I can just make myself happy by running, is it real? Is happiness real? Is that if you can simulate it? Forget running. Running is it's a good way to deal with this. Let's say people who indulge in pharmaceutical delights, alcoholism, gambling addiction, or any kind of addiction which is unhealthy, let's say. That's just it. That's what it is. Why do people chase that? Why do people get addicted to these things? Because it feels good. And it's a substitute to a healthy trigger for these hormones, except it comes out in a different way. So it got me thinking, like, happiness can be simulated. You could just do, like, take a pill or go for a run and just simulate happiness in your own body. And then it made me realize it's not real. Anything which can be simulated is not real. It cannot be. And just chasing something because it feels good for a moment, just because my own body releases these chemicals, is that worth losing my mind over? Is that worth chasing my life after? Is it worth directing all my effort towards? Because that's all we're doing. There's a study I came across then which drilled this theory even deeper into my head. They had hardwired electrodes in the brain of a rat or a mouse or something. And basically it was planted in his pleasure centers. And they trained the mouse to press a button and they would simulate a tiny little pulse and it would experience those hormones. To a point where this mouse basically electrocuted himself by pressing it so much. He just was addicted to feeling good. And that's just what we are. We are that creature, basically. Like if you're not literally putting pulses through our brain. It's just in our actions. That's just why we do it. And then it really dawned on me. And then I started asking every single thing. I started questioning every single thing. Like, why am I doing this? Why do I need to do this? Why am I friends with this person? Just because it feels good talking to them, but they don't add anything to my life. And again, for whatever reason, it reset the understanding of happiness in my brain. And that was a big turning point where I stopped chasing happiness. And I stopped chasing, I need to feel good, so I need to be around people and people make me happy. Stop chasing meaningless relationships. Stop talking to meaningless people who are just there in my life and I have no idea why. And I started enjoying my own company. And then the fact that when I would sit down and analyze my own thoughts, hours would go by. I remember, like, we used to have a Saturday half day on most ships and a Sunday full day off. And if you're not a duty engineer, you don't have to come down unless you're in a port or whatever. So Saturday after lunch, I would shut my doors and just sort of disappear into my own corner on the ship. And then hours would go by. And I would just spend my time thinking about literally anything. I would just let my mind wander. And it got me closer to my own thoughts. It got me closer to myself. My mind was no longer noise. It was not a place I feared. And some people I've met and I've spoken to, they said they can't sit still with their thoughts anymore. They had experiments run, where they had people sit in a room just, and the instruction was just stare at this wall, and they didn't tell them it's going to be 30 minutes. There was no clock. There was no sense of time. They just said, you sit here, stare at the wall, and we'll come get you. People went insane. People were losing it. They were screaming at the wall. They were, hallucinating that the wall is talking back. I don't know what happened. It was not pleasant. And that surprises me so much. Like, it's your own mind. It's in you. It's what controls you. It's what governs you. How can it not be a good place to be with your thoughts? And even if it's not, even if it's a bad place to be, even if it's noise at the moment, because yes, I had that time and I had a lot of noise in my head. I was very self-critical at some point. Didn't think I was good enough. If I had, like, failed an exam, my competency exams, I think all sailors have been there. If I had a breakup or if some girl chose some other guy over me, I didn't feel like I was worthy of anyone's affection. I had those thoughts. The idea is just to, like, sit with it. You just gotta sit with it. Eventually you will figure it out. Now it's come to a point where I feel like I've become my own best friend. I am self-critical still. I do push myself too hard to do the best I can. I don't slack off. And it's not for anybody. It's not for glory. It's not for the admiration of others. It's just like I owe it to myself to give it my best shot. And I'm going to reap these hours much later in life. So yeah. So once you get that understanding in your head, once you realize what happiness really is, and once you realize why you hang out with people and why hanging out with people makes you feel good, once you detach the sentiment from that, and by all means, like, if you have a good companion, if you have good company, then by all means, why the hell not? I didn't have that choice. And now here I am where I'm really selective with my company. If you already have that, if something works for you, then by all means, man, just, like, keep doing what you're doing, whatever works for you. Because that's the idea here. I'm not, like, trying to dissuade you from, like, hanging out with people. But if you are somebody who's lonely, who's not handling life well, and tell you what, the loneliness epidemic or pandemic is even worse than anything else we've experienced. I don't know what the numbers are. It affects, like, 3 in 4 people in America, or I don't know how many in India. I don't know what it is. Some staggering numbers. But it's a thing. There's a book I was reading a couple years ago. It's called The Lonely Century or something like that. So yeah, this is a thing now. It is a thing. We've gone hyper-independent, but we've not entirely learned how to deal with it. That's why online gaming is on such a rise. At least more guys indulge in online gaming where it's an escape from reality. But again, you're still not dealing with your issues. And that's what I recommend. You have to go through it to overcome through it. So anyway. I could talk a lot more about things I learned. But again, I know I'm like digressing in my when I talk, because but these lessons are so staggered. It's not like one thing happened and then another thing. I'm like, I learned a lesson about this at this point, and then something else, and then something else happened years later. Then I collaborated that with this happening, and all of that eventually like kind of brought me here, is where I am. So yeah, that's just I hope that gives you some clarity about this. And since we've hit the 20 minute mark ish, I'm gonna leave this episode at this point. I'll think about episode 3. I don't have a script yet. I don't make a script. I just like have bullet points and then I just wing it. I'll think of something. I'll think of going deeper into the subject. But yeah, for now, just realize you have been doing things just because it feels good. But I would urge you to stop and think, and you got to think like, why am I doing this? Like friends of mine have spent, and I ask a lot of people this. I mean, once you're socially comfortable, I ask them like, if you go into your iPhone, your settings, your battery, it shows you how long your screen time was averaged over 10 days. So on a ship, this used to be an hour and 40 minutes-ish because nothing used to work. So I was using it for, let's say, WhatsApp texting towards the end when internet was decent. WhatsApp texting, WhatsApp calling, podcasts, that's about it. And podcasts, again, it's a screen off time. It's not the screen on time. And I ask people here, they're on their phones for like 8 hours a day. So that's a third of your time. Again, people are making calls or doing whatever. But again, it's 8 hours is a lot. That's a third of your day. And if you spend 8 hours sleeping, that's the other third. And then you're just like, that's it. So what I would ask you to do at least for today, and do this exercise for yourself, and you can text me the results if you want, or you can hit me up and we can have a discussion about this. Throughout the course of the day, be very, very mindful of what you are doing. And if there is something which you sort of do on autopilot, ask yourself, why am I doing this? And then think about some of the opinions you have, like, why do I think this? So where is the genesis of this opinion? Is it something which I've been told while growing up, or is it something inherently genetic about it? And basically just identify why you do what you do. Yeah, think about that. And then once you've identified that, then we can think about how we can replace that with healthier habits, let's say. There was a point where I used to, I think every day I was having like, I used to hang out with friends and drink alcohol every day was a thing. It was just like, you just didn't know what to do. And the good thing about sailing, again, oh man, I have so much gratitude towards sailing. You'd spend time at sea, you couldn't drink, so it was an automatic detox. But again, after a point, you're like, why am I drinking every day? What is this? What's going on? Why don't I replace this with something else? And I had this reality check when my brother took me to a running event for the first time in 2017. And it was just a 5K. And for the first time, I saw these people who were, the energy was different. They were so motivated to get up at 5:30 in the morning, drive to one corner of Delhi to an abandoned plot of land where somebody had mapped out a route. And people were fit. They had so much energy early in the morning, and I was still groggy. And I ran, and I was terrible. My 5K time that day was, I think it was 42 minutes, 45 minutes. It was so bad. And that was that reality check in my head when I'm like, oh damn, my physical health is garbage. I need to fix this. Immediately cut down on eating junk food, cut down on alcohol, started working on this. And then that was 2017 and I still run. I mean, I gave it up in the middle. I took over cycling, which is more enjoyable, I think. I enjoyed it. I used to put on some music and just go cycling, like 50, 60K. Started playing tennis. I replaced running with other more, like, I won't say more healthy, but other more enjoyable pursuits. Because running is very, it does get a bit boring, to be honest, but that's fine. But now that I'm here in Ann Arbor, the weather's amazing. Even if it's cold, you can run and you heat up. There's a decent running track. The running track is just like, it's a footpath you can walk on, sidewalk people call it here, and some lovely tracks, some lovely scenery. You can just run around the whole city, and it's a 10 kilometer loop, which I do. And the thing is, even if you do a 10k, you come back with like sore sort of muscles, but you're not entirely exhausted, because that's the temperature, it's colder here, so you're not entirely exhausted, and you can run longer distances without feeling a lot of pain. So I've replaced that with running, because again, it's the cheapest thing you can do to keep yourself fit and feel good about it, about yourself. So yeah. Anywho, oh man, 25 minutes, damn it. I need to really hone it in now. Anyway, so hope you enjoyed this episode, guys. I hope it resonated with you. If it doesn't, let me know what I can talk to you about something specific. Let me know. And I will address those questions eventually when I get to that stage. I'm trying to accumulate all the questions together and we'll just do like one episode where we'll answer all your questions. Again, disclaimer, I'm not claiming that I've understood everything and this is gospel truth. I'm just saying this works for me. It has worked for me for the longest time. And worth a shot, I guess, if nothing else is working, worth a shot. So, yeah, in this episode, we talked about why we do certain things and why we feel happy and basically how happiness can get addictive and how the lack of social company is one of the reasons for the drop of levels of dopamine and other happy hormones, and that's exactly why we feel sad. It's not like we need it. It's not like we need people anymore. And we've reached a stage where we actively avoid conversing with people. Like if you meet strangers on the road, you're not gonna like reach out and say hi to them. We just don't do that anymore. So we've reached a stage of hyper independence, but we've not come out of the need to be around people and be social in general. Think about that. Think about what the nature of happiness. Think about that. Think about why you do certain things without really entirely realizing it. Think about why you feel the need to buy things. Think about why you need to have the need to have experiences, the need to showcase your life on Instagram. And also the constant need to feel happy. Why do you got to feel happy all the time? But again, happiness is relative. It's a spectrum. Think about that. Why do you need to feel happy all the time? So what if you're sad today? It's not going to last forever. Happiness doesn't last forever and sadness doesn't last forever either. That's just it. Ask yourself, today if you've planned to do something which will make you happy, think about it. Like, why am I doing this just to make myself happy? What am I going to get out of this? Think about that. And be a little critical about this. Like, question everything. Even if you don't have the answer, just sit with it. And see what your mind comes up with. Analyze it. It's a good place to be. These are some good questions you can ask yourself. And really get to the nitty-gritties of how you function as a human being. And I would love to hear your answers if you are willing to share. I would love to hear it. Hit me up. We have an Instagram page. It's called The Two Bros Podcast. Search for it. We are the only ones with that name. It's the same logo that you see on your podcast app right now. You'll identify it. Leave a comment on the post or send a DM. I will respond immediately if I can. Or if I can't, I will get back to you for shizzle. I will do that. And I'm glad some of you have decided to stick with me and take this journey with me and really see where we end up. I don't know what the end game is going to be, but yeah, let's see. I'll try to talk about whatever I've learned. If it helps even one person, I think my job's done. It is what it is. Alrighty, I will see you on the next one. Have a fun day. See ya.